Well, thank you, Kelly Robinson, very much. And good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful morning across Texas now, right now, just gorgeous. Happy Easter, just a little bit early. I hope if this is your faith, I hope you'll have a great weekend. I hope it's already starting out to be a good one and a safe one, a religious one. Again, if that is your faith. And otherwise, I just hope it's a wonderful weekend for you. It's a great time to be gardening. There's so much to get done right now. Why don't you pick up the phone, give us a call. Jared Taylor is running the boards, answering the phones, and doing pretty much everything other than answering the questions. That's my job. I'm Neil Sperry. I've been doing this for, in the late 30s years, 35, 36 years, something like that, on this program. This is the only program that I don't know an exact start date on because I did it recorded for a while with the guests. And then we took it live with guests, and then we took it live with Q&A and added a bunch of stations. And it's just kind of evolved. But it's somewhere back in the 35, 36, 7 years, something like that. Toll-free number is 888-256-1080. My first commercial program after I left the Extension Service in 77, first commercial program was the first weekend of January of 1978, and I've been commercial ever since then, doing programs in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and a couple of statewide programs. My statewide daily program, weekdays, is now, let's see, I recorded program number 12,040, I believe it was. Let me turn just a moment. I can tell you exactly because I keep a log of all of those programs, and I can feel my little log book right here. Last one I recorded was number 12,030, off by 10. So that started back in 1978. So that's a long time. It's a lot of programs. I enjoy talking about my favorite hobby. It's the world's greatest hobby, after all. Who wouldn't enjoy talking about your hobby for a living? So if you'd like to talk, give us a call. Obviously, I like to talk. Eight, but I'd rather have a conversation, not a monologue. 888 256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Let's talk about your landscape. Let's talk about your lawn. Anything in urban horticulture or suburban or rural around the house horticulture. I don't talk about pastures. I don't talk about sheep and goats or forage crops or anything like that. That's just not anything I've had training in, so I don't want to send you in the wrong direction. Your county extension agent can help with those things. But I'll help any way I can with your lawn, landscape, fruit, flower, and vegetable garden, house plants, things of that sort. And I would do that with a great deal of joy. The phone number, 888-256-1080. We broadcast to about 30, 33 stations, from Amarillo to Alpine. I'm going to kind of skirt the perimeter of the state, to Victoria and Corpus Christi, and then on around to Bryan-College Station and Crockett, along several stations along the Red River, and a bunch in central Texas and in the big country. So give us a call one more time. That's 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Call now. I'm only here for that hour, not even a full hour. There's a tax involved or something. I don't know why we don't get a full hour. We have to give a little time back to the newscast on each end of this hour. So that's why we leave a little before noon, start a little after 11. 888-256-1080. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is my book, and I have it on sale for you right now. And I'd love to sign a copy. I'll be signing tonight and, probably not tomorrow, but Monday morning. And getting them in the mail Monday or at the latest Tuesday, directly to you. I self-published this book because I wanted the book to have everything in it that I always felt like I needed to have in the other four books that I've written. Sometimes when you deal with a book and a publisher, you have to put up with their committees that they form for you, and the committees may or may not understand the topic that you're doing. My publisher at one point had just done a book on Major League Baseball, and then they came to, "Hey, let's talk to Neil about gardening." And it was the same cast of characters. Oh, this is going to be difficult. And so, all right, whatever. In this case, here's the committee. I had Neil writing all the editorial and supplying all but one of the photographs. Then I had my editor, Carolyn Skye, whom I had worked on many projects over many years. She had been the editor of my magazine and all of my annual Texas gardening calendars. And she supplied the one other photo because it was at a place she had visited and I had not been recently. And she is an accomplished editor. And then you had, the graphics designer, Cindy Smith, who had designed all of my calendars for 10 years and some other not-for-profit work that I had worked on, and she helped. So those are the three of us, and we worked as a team. We live about 8 miles apart, and it just was fun to put this book together. 344 pages, 840 of my photographs, a bunch of charts, and just a whole lot of information, a huge amount of text. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in Texas, everything you need to know to get started. Chapter 2, I've never put in any book before, and that is a calendar, a 48-page, 4-page-per-month calendar of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and protect all of the plants in your landscape, lawn, and garden for every county in Texas. Chapters 3 through 11 are trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. It's all in the calendar waiting for you to help make sure that you succeed with your gardening endeavors. The chapter 2 alone will, the calendar will pay for the calendar, for the book. Book's only $34.95, and I'll guarantee your satisfaction or I'll refund every penny you spend. 87,000 copies sold so far, not one request for refund. I sign every copy as it sells. I personally take them to the post office myself. And so that's how the book works. It's a hardback printed on high quality paper, printed in Texas. That way I could go to all of the press checks. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, not in stores and not on Amazon. Just $34.95. List price is $38.95. Here are the two ways you can order it. You go to my website, that's the better way, at neilsperry.com. Order it right now, neilsperry.com. Or you can call my office Monday through Friday business hours, 800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769. The better way is at neilsperry.com. I want to talk to you about the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association and their very outstanding certification program. They certify their employees of the association. They allow that, and here's how it works. The employees sign up to become a Texas certified or master certified nursery professional. They study long and hard hours. They pass difficult exams that prove that they know what they're talking about. Once they have passed the exams, they are declared to be certified or master certified nursery professionals, and they are then awarded name badges and emblems. The nurseries carry the emblem out on their signs at the front doors that say, certified or master certified nursery professionals work here. People come in and say, I want that kind of help, that level of help. You don't get that at the big box stores. Generally, there are a few that have certified nursery professionals, but most do not. You don't find that at little non-member nurseries. You find that at nurseries that are leaders in their industry. That's Texas Certified Nursery Professionals and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals, only at member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. I'll have more after this message. All right. Thank you very much, Kelly Robinson. We're ready to go to our phone lines. If you'd like to call, please give us a call. 888, if you'd like to talk on the air, give us a call. 888-256-1080. 888-256-1080. We're going to be going in just a moment to Rosalinda in Alpine. Someone else called as Rosalinda was on the phone, but they didn't let it ring more than just a few couple of times. And Jared tried to get to you, but you hung up too soon. Guy, be patient. Poor guy only has two ears and he can only use one at a time when he's talking on the phone. So call back, please. We do want to talk to you. 888-256-1080. Rosalinda, this is Neil. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Always great to hear from Alpine. Always great.
I'm calling about my lawn. I've been having trouble growing grass. I've tried it for years, and I till it. I throw hay on it, fertilizer, okay. And nothing works.
What type of grass are you trying to grow?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I just go by and buy it.
All right. Do you have full sun?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of pine trees around, but yes.
Okay. I have spent a good bit of time in Alpine, and so I came across a photograph I took up on the Sol Ross campus of the city of Alpine, up on the hills right behind Sol Ross. I took the photo 8 or 10 years ago, and I refer to it as the urban forest of Alpine, Texas. And folks, if you've never been to Alpine, you think, what is he talking about? The urban forest, because it's out in the mountains, and you don't think of forests around there, but there are a lot of trees. And that's why I ask if you had full sun. You could grow Bermuda grass. There are a lot of people in Alpine who have St. Augustine, and it does well. And a lot of people are leaning towards Zoysia grass. I would probably, in full sun, I would use common Bermuda grass. You can grow it from seed. It's still too early to plant that seed. There are some secrets in getting it to grow well for you. I'm going to go through them. And if you fail at any one of these, then you'll fail again. And I don't want you to fail again. I want you to succeed. You need to wait until the soil is quite warm, and that's going to be in May in Brewster County. So wait until then. You want to rototill, but you don't want to till very deeply, probably just down to an inch or two. It will be better if you possibly can get a rear tine tiller where the tines are behind the wheels. I don't know if Morrison's rents rear tine tillers. They might. They pulverize the soil better than one that has the tines out in front. Those things they're like bucking broncos. So that's a good starting point if you can rent a rear tine tiller to do the tilling. And then you're not going to use any hay. You don't use anything to cover. Bermuda grass seed is very tiny. All right, so you rototill, and then you use a garden rake, a regular rake. You know, when you think of a rake, this is what we're talking about, a regular rake. But you turn it upside down. And you smooth the soil so that it drains away from your house. That's usually not going to be a problem in Alpine. It would if you were on the other side of the state in Beaumont, but you smooth it so it drains properly. Try not to make any footprints or anything that's going to catch water when you water it, or all the seeds will end up there. When you plant the seeds, you want to plant at the rate of 2 to 4 pounds of Bermuda seed per 1,000 square feet, 2 to 4 per 1,000 square feet. And here's one of the tricks, Rosalinda. This is a little confusing. You want to take just a regular plastic bucket or pan or something. You're going to mix the seed with equal amounts of cornmeal, like you'd make cornbread with. And that will extend the seed. The seed is very tiny. You're going to be putting it out with a handheld spreader, one that you hold in. I'm right-handed, so I hold it in my left hand and grind it in my right hand. I'm doing this now right here in front of the microphone. I've got my right hand just spinning around. And you want to dilute the seed a bit. Otherwise, you'll run out of seed the first 4 steps that you take. So it's like hamburger helper, but it's Bermuda grass helper, the cornmeal. And what I like to do is I will put half of the seed going north and south, and then I'll go across the lawn a second time and put half of the seed going east and west. And that gives me double coverage, and that way I don't have any gaps. I don't have any missed areas. You start watering, and you water just maybe 5 minutes in the morning where you are. I doubt that you would have to water twice a day, but you might have to water again in the evening using a watering device, a sprinkler that just puts out a spray over the top, back and forth spray, so it doesn't wash the soil, would be ideal. You water daily for a couple of weeks until you see it starting to come up, and then you cut back. But remember, you don't rake
water.
It again. You don't put any hay over the top of it. Don't do any of that stuff. That's what you do in the north for big seeds like bluegrass or fescue, but you don't do that with Bermuda seed. It's too tiny.
Okay. Okay.
Do all that,
I will try
it
that.
It should come up. Yeah. Fertilize it after you mow it the second time, and that fertilizer should be high nitrogen, and you will fertilize it at half the recommended rate, but that's only after you mow it the second time. You want to mow it at 1.25 to 1.5 inches, and you mow it as soon as it gets high enough that it needs to be mowed. Don't let it get 4 inches tall. That weakens it. You want to mow it as soon as it's tall enough to mow. And I rarely do this, but I'm going to do it. I don't know all of my sponsors in the local markets, but I will tell you that the people at Morrison's know their stuff and they can help you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dilbert, for the advice, and I will try that.
You're going to succeed with that one. Thank you, Rosalinda. All that's on my website.
Thank you very much.
If you need it, it's there.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye. That store, Morrison's Hardware in Alpine, is one of a kind. Alpine has, I think, 5,000 or 6,000 people, something like that, and it is the all-time general store of the West. It's just great. So just a fun thing. I'm really not trying to gain plug-ole or payola. I don't operate that way, but it's just out a long ways from the next city of any size, which would be Fort Stockton or the other direction, Marfa or Fort Davis. Those are 25 miles away. If you've never been to Brewster County or Presidio County or Reeves County or anywhere out there, you need to go, and especially to Jeff Davis County and Brewster and Presidio County and see West Texas, Southwest Texas. All right, that's what we have. Let me give you the number. We'll take another break, and then I'll come back and hopefully have your call. 888-256-1080. Now, take just a drink of my diet soda here. Hang on just a second. I obviously talked too much in that call. If you are not aware, I spent the first 2 years of my life in Alpine, and went back many times with my mom and dad. Now, my dad founded the biology department at Sol Ross, and so my roots are deep but short in Alpine. Love that area. Well, take a break, and then I do want to tell you a little bit about fertilizers and how to choose a good fertilizer. We can do that. I may do that a little later because I have Fertilome coming up right now as my advertiser. I don't want to just sound like it's nothing but one thing after another to support the advertiser. That's kind of the way that last commentary on the sponsor out there sounded, and I don't want to do that to you. If you miss getting high-yield turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper pre-emergent down, you may have some weeds popping up in your yard. If it is cold or damp for weed killers at some time in the next week or two, then you don't have to worry. With this one, it won't be too cold. It doesn't seem too cold right now, so this one's just right for you. Fertilome Weed-Free Zone is one of the few weed killers you can use early, mid-season, late season, whatever. It uses a type of herbicide that is effective down to 40 and right up to 85 degrees. Fertilome's Weed-Free Zone safely controls more than 80 broadleafed weeds. Use it for dandelions, henbit. Well, henbit's pretty well gone now. Chickweed, and so many more. If you have any of the weeds that are not grassy weeds in your lawn, you can eliminate them with Fertilome Weed-Free Zone. You'll see rapid and effective broadleaf weed control with visible results within 24 hours, and soon your lawn will be a weed-free zone. That's what we all want, is get those things out of here. No matter where you live, whether it's out west in the Davis Mountains, the Cheesus Mountains out there, or whether it's down in the valley or over in the Piney Woods or along the Red River or anywhere in between, which includes a lot of millions of square miles, then that would be the right place for Fertilome Weed-Free Zone. Fertilome and the high-yield products are made in Texas. They're packaged in Texas, in Bonham, for that matter, and they are sold at independent retail, garden centers, hardware stores, and nurseries and feed stores all across the Lone Star State. Ask for them by name. That's your assurance you're getting a product made for Texas landscapes and gardens. Fertilome Weed Free Zone. And it's available from anybody who sells those great Fertilome products. I'll be back with more after these messages. All right. Thank you, Kelly, very, very much. And let me finish a message relative to tomorrow. Making plans with some friends. All right. Nice to have friends. If you'd like to call, we'd love to hear from you. It's 888-256-1080. 888-256-1080. We go to Darren in College Station. Darren, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. I'm having problems getting a Schumart red oak going. I'm on my third one in 4 years. The two that I've had previously have each made it for 2 years. They were in 45-gallon containers. And you know the soil type that we have here in College Station. They are very heavy black clay. And so in removing those two that had died, I find when I remove them, of course, the planting in the containers is in a very porous, it's not potting soil, but the very porous soil that they put those in. When I pull those out, they're just soaking wet in the bottom, and the hole is standing in water. And so I'm convinced that what's happening is the hard old clay is not letting that water percolate on down further below those, and they're just rotting from the bottom. And so I've had people to tell me to maybe add sand or some better soil or even rocks down below that. And so, as I said, I'm on my third tree that I'm planting at the moment, but can you give me any advice on this?
Well, I will try my best. I will tell you that if I became a plumber, it would be nice to know that if I had a stopped-up bathtub, if I could throw some rocks in the bottom of the bathtub to make it drain better, wouldn't that be nice? That doesn't help a bit. It doesn't help a bit in improving drainage. It just spreads the water out a little bit, so that's not going to help you at all, nor will sand. Either get rid of the incident water. If it's a low spot, then you're going to have to divert the water somewhere else, which you
No, it's
doesn't.
Not on a low spot. It's actually on an incline.
All right. There may be a high water table. There could be maybe that it's just so heavy and you're watering it really heavily, which is usually a good idea. But maybe you're doing it too excess or
and,
too
and
often.
No, we're not doing that either. The only water it's getting is from twice a week watering the lawn.
Okay. Then I'm going to back up a little bit because I have a message to everybody but you. Just I'm talking over your shoulder. Folks, when you put a new tree out, here is my general discussion of how you water and take care of a new Schumard red oak. This is for everybody but Darren. When you get it planted, you need to plant it plumb. Make sure it is vertical. Stake and guide if it's a 45-gallon tree, because that's going to have enough of a top to it that it will tilt in the wind. Protect the trunk from that stake and guide so it doesn't rub with the cable or wire or rope or whatever. And keep it taut at all times. Don't have any slack in the rope. All right. It's imperative that a new Schumard red oak or chinkapin oak or Chinese pistachio or red maple, not Japanese maple, but Acer rubrum red maple, have its trunk wrapped with paper tree wrap for the first 2 years to prevent sun scald and borer invasion. And so that's imperative. And that new trees of all species in almost all of Texas, except maybe Beaumont, be watered two or three times during the week with an amount equal to the size of the container from which they were planted. And so a 45-gallon might not need 45 gallons, but it's going to need 30 gallons a couple times a week in the heat of the summer. Lawn sprinkler irrigation is usually inadequate. I've seen thousands of trees die because people watered them with their lawn sprinklers and just figured that was enough. It does not get to the bottom of the very porous potting soils that nurseries use to grow their trees. Those potting soils are selected because they're lightweight for fray costs, and plants grow well in them. And so they dry out very quickly, and you need to water frequently and deeply. So those are the things that I would normally say to folks. Now, I need to go back and amend this, Darren, as to why it's staying so wet in the bottom. And that must be your surrounding soil, or you have a spring, or you have something going on there. The one thing you can do that I haven't heard you say is that you can plant high. You can elevate the tree to make sure that the root flare is just at, or, well, it is at the soil surface. A lot of times people will plant a tree and they will dig the hole deeper than necessary, and the tree will then settle, and the tree ends up being planted too deeply by an inch or two or three. And that can be very damaging long-term, and maybe that's what's happening. I can't see, I can't tell. But that would be the one thing that might be going wrong with your trees.
No, that has not been the case either. I've been very careful with that, and what I've got when I remove that is just water sitting in this hole that is just like cement. It's just really hard.
I heard
black
all that.
Clay.
Yeah, I heard every word of it. You need to find out where that water's coming from. It's not just you know, appearing miraculously. It's coming from somewhere. And either you're putting it on, or it's coming in from a spring, or it's coming in from subsurface drainage, or it's something. I mean, it doesn't just appear. Having spent my first 20 years in College Station, first two were in Alpine, I know that it does get dry, and I know that trees do die because they don't get enough water sometimes, and so you do have to water, There's not a water table that stays that high to cause these trees to die out. I will also tell you that I didn't know Schumard red oak very well, having grown up in College Station. There weren't that many of them around. It was not as big a tree in the nursery industry yet when I left. Chinkapin oak might be a better investment for you. It likes the river bottom kind of setting. Normally, the native range of Schumard red oak tends to take it more into a rockier setting that is a little more arid. And same with Texas red oak. They're kind of sister trees, where chinkapin oak and burr oak tend to be in a lower setting. And those trees might be better suited for you. Water oak, oh man, I'd like to be back in Brazos County and be able to grow water oaks again. They love the kind of setting you're talking about. But that's a kind of a cop out of an answer. But that may be your best.
Well,
answer.
Maybe if this one doesn't make it, maybe we will go to a water oak. So am I too late? And this one has got some limbs very low on it that, getting from the sprinkler with the high sodium content in our water from past experience, it usually kills those lower limbs. Am I too late in the year to already prune those back?
Oak wilt is a problem if you have oak wilt in the immediate neighborhood. I've had a rather stern talking to by an arborist there are people who have my highest respect, and then there's this man who is four steps beyond that, just utmost respect. And he had his arm around my shoulder psychologically and a big smile on his face as he said, "Neil, we work 12 months a year. We have to, and trees have to be pruned other times when there's storm damage, etc. The secret is to know if there's oak wilt immediately next door to these trees when you do the pruning, and secondly, to seal them right away with paint to prevent that entry spot. Don't do things that you know to be silly risks. So no, you could prune your branches now if you need to.
Okay.
Just be very careful because you're going to be exposing the trunk to sun scald. You must have it wrapped.
Yes, I've always wrapped the previous ones too, and they've
all right.
You know, it's protected cool. from that. So
there you go.
I have done everything right except for what was going on with the water. So the
you
only water it did is I've
from.
Got a. I've got a spring underneath my yard,
or
the grass watering. Yeah,
there's something going on. That's not good for your foundation either, so it probably wouldn't hurt to find out. I would dig some post holes with a sharpshooter spade 15 inches deep and just put a piece of plywood across them, a little tiny piece of plywood over, and watch them for a while. for the next month and see if they stay full all the time, and do it other places in your yard and just kind of get a feeling for what's going on out here.
Okay, Neil, thank you very much. Hopefully the third time will be a charm.
I'll bet it will. Thanks for the call, Darren. Take care.
You're welcome.
All right, Gary and Lubbock, I see you. We're coming back to you. Let me get this break out of the way, and you're on deck. Gary and Lubbock with tulips that are not going to bloom for him. That's a bummer deal. All right, we'll get to you. Let me tell you about my book. It's Neil Spray's Lone Star Gardening, and it's on sale at $34.95. If I could save you a whole lot more than $34.95, would you invest in it? I can do that with this book. Chapter 2 will do that for you. You better invest in this book. It's a calendar. It's 4 pages per month of all the details of things you need to get done. Well, we'll just jump ahead to April. In April, everything that needs to be done in April. What do you need to plant in April that should not be planted any other time of the year? What do you need to prune in April that you don't prune any other time of the year? I'll tell you one thing for sure. It's the list of all the spring flowering things that have now finished blooming. That they're listed there. And what do you need to fertilize in April that you don't fertilize other times of the year, and protect? And the same thing for all the other 11 months. It'll keep, it's 48 pages of that information quickly and arranged by bullets of each month for every county in the state, every area of Texas. All right, so that's chapter 2. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in Texas. And then the other 9 chapters, do a little quick math there, 11 minus 2, I mean. The other 9 chapters are very detailed chapters on these topics: trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, there are your landscape plants, annuals and perennials, your color plants, then a very detailed chapter on lawn care, and then fruit and vegetables in Texas. Lots of charts, lots of general text of how to do this, lots of photos, 840 photographs, and 344 pages printed on high quality paper, and it's a hardback book printed in Texas. All that for $34.95, satisfaction guaranteed. I've never been asked to refund on any of the 87,000 copies I've sold. I chose not to put this book in stores or on Amazon because that would have probably added 50% to the price. It is $34.95, and you'll get a signed copy. I sign them as I sell them. I'll be signing tonight and again then on Monday, and I'll take them to the post office myself. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, only $34.95, available by calling my office Monday through Friday, business hours, 800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769, or the other way, the better way, is to order it right now at neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com. More after these messages. All right, Kelly, thank you very, very much. And let's go back to our phone lines. We have Gary in Lubbock. Gary, this is Neil. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome, Neil. Thanks for having the sponsors to keep you on the radio on Saturday mornings.
You betcha. Thank you. Yeah, glad to have them. How can I help?
I have probably 60 tulip plants along the side of my house, and every year they will not bloom. They are good, tall, 12-inch leafed, healthy looking, but do not produce tulips.
All right. Well, I'm going to break your heart. The tulips that we buy in the fall and plant in most parts of Texas need to be refrigerated to give them an artificial winter. You all are a little bit colder, but not cold enough still. They still need to be pre-chilled, it's called, to convince them that they've had a winter. we normally don't get as cold as they're used to, and then they will bloom the first year. They do not come back and bloom well. There is a small, tiny group of tulips called species tulips that will come back and bloom, but they generally are smaller in flower. They sometimes will have two or three blooms per stem, even. There are 8 or 10 of them. They're rarely in nurseries. You have to go to a bulb specialist to find them. They're more expensive. They're heirloom plants. If you live in a part of Lubbock where people had tulips 75 years ago, you'll see them around older houses. You see them in old parts of East Texas around abandoned farmsteads, but you rarely see them in garden centers for sale. But the ones that we do see are the big hybrids that only bloom the 1 year. The same is true with large flowering daffodils. You'll see King Alfred and Mount Hood and Unsurpassable and those great big beautiful daffodils. First year they bloom perfectly, just like we expected. Second year we get 98% leaves and a few flowers. And after that they look like liriope. They come up and grow beautifully and then die and you never see another bloom. So that's the bad news. It's time to move on to something else.
What would be good to move on to?
Well, you could change over to what I have done, and I've been really happy with it. And Lubbock and Dallas, where I live, are somewhat similar in our climates and our conditions. I have a couple of daffodils that have done really well for me for 25 years, so I've changed to daffodils. I have Ice Follies for a nice white daffodil, and I have it'll come to me in a minute, but I have a very popular 100-year-old variety, a golden daffodil. Makes me mad. It will come back to me, but they are the two most popular daffodils in the world. And then I have some of the species, tulips. If you go to Brent and Becky's Bulbs, that's a national mail order bulb company, and they have those listed as repeat bloomers. And what's wrong with me? I'm at my computer where I have all my photos, but I don't know that I can access them that quickly. But anyway, the secret is in varieties and care for them, and then you're all set. Hang on just a second. I'll just key up daffodil and see what Carlton is. What it's going to be? I didn't even get there. I just had to scare myself. Carlton is the golden one that is so pretty. So I got to run. I've got to get one more break in, and I'm really short on time. But that's going to be your secret. The tulips that you see in the botanic gardens and other places are planted and pulled out as soon as they're through blooming. You watch them, and you'll see that's what's happening. Thank you, Gary, for the call very, very much. Folks, let me tell you about my electronic newsletter called eGardens. It is free and always will be. It comes out on Thursday nights right after 6 o'clock. There always is a featured plant of the week. There always is the Q&A section where I answer your questions, and gardening this weekend where I tell you the things that need to be done at that time. If you want to see what it looks like, go to my website. That's where you sign up for it. You'll never be spammed. I never give or sell your email address to anybody, and it always will be free. We're in our 20th year with eGardens. Go to neilsperry.com. Click on eGardens and take a look. The sample copy is right there waiting for you. And I also want to remind you to always to shop where you see the name badge and emblem of Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals at member nurseries of the Texas Association of Nurserymen. I'll be back with more after this message. All right. Thank you, Kelly. We go to Bill in Brenham. And Bill, I have 1 minute exactly. I'm sorry to squeeze you in. Call earlier next time. How can I help?
Just wondering if what kind of bamboo I should plant for a visual barrier between the backyard and a highway.
All right. You have how much land? You have an acre or two?
An acre, yeah, 1.6 acres. It'd probably be... about 40
Use
yards.
Eastern red cedar juniper, Bill. Use Eastern red cedar juniper, the one that is native in your area. Bamboo is horrifically invasive. I can't think of a worse plant to plant. I really can't think of a worse plant to plant. It will
Eastern
take over
juniper.
All of your 1.6 acres. Juniperus virginiana. Eastern Red Cedar. It's the one that you see growing between you and College Station. You'll need to get some little transplants about knee high, and they will do beautifully for you. Space them about 18 or 20 feet apart. I did that in College Station when I was a kid, and they gave privacy within 3 or 4 years. They're wonderful. 18 or 20 feet apart, even if they're only knee high. If you plant them too close, they'll denude one another. Gotta run. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. Happy Easter. Until next week, happy gardening.